Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill and I get down to brass tacks and we tell you how to use direct mail to start doing deals, like start doing them today. Jill, how many offers does it take to buy a house?
A house? A lot. Like 1,000.
How many bought land?
Not as many, like 100.
Good answers. That's actually the title.
I know, I cheated. No, but I know that.
Today's topic,
not my first rodeo.
Today's topic really cuts to the chase, but let's take a question from a caller first.
Okay. Karen from Tulsa called in and asked, how important is it to have my website and social media set up before I think about soliciting sellers?
You know, I'll tell you, what I'd like to do from here on out forever in our careers is defer to you about sales and I'll handle acquisitions and engineering.
Thank you, Steven.
Wouldn't that be great?
We are shaking hands across the desk right now.
That's great. So this is kind of a sales question, I think.
It
helps acquisitions, but it really is a sales piece. And I know you handle our social media here. Thank you, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So my old butt doesn't have to do that.
My old butt.
I was going to say old ass, but you shouldn't say that.
Got it. So, okay, so here's my thing. You know what, Karen? It's not going to make or break a deal traditionally, but it sure does help. So I would get it going. It's nowadays people look you up. That's the fact. And it's not even so much your business, it's you. So you want to really be thinking about that too. Have your website, and you can do it for a couple $100. You can find people even on Craigslist, you know, that will get a website, just even the shell of a basic website up and going. So you have an online presence. But, and think about all your Facebook, your Twitter, you know, your Instagram, you know, LinkedIn, you know, all those things that people use. Have your business and yourself established and there, because I tell you, it makes a difference. I know that people look us up before they might pick up the phone to call me to buy a property or sell a property. They want to know you're real, you know, and a little bit about you, and you're in the business. And
can I pipe in though?
Sure.
So you're kicking the can down the road if you don't do this, and I'm a perfect example. I waited probably, I don't know, at least 8 years too late to start the social media thing, to get a Facebook page and the whole deal, Twitter, that all really, really matters. Because here's what happens. You send a letter out, and the first thing they open the mail and say, yeah, I forgot about this property. Yeah, I'd love to sell it. Let me go check to see what Karen from Tulsa, what's this all about? And if they don't find anything, I mean nothing. Or maybe they find a personal Facebook page with your name on it, and then you're doing some crazy stuff during your college years. That's not going to work. So you're just yes, you can do deals like that. You can. Mm-hmm. And people do it all the time. But you are kicking the can down the road. So why not just start it now?
Yeah.
Slice out a couple hours on the weekend, or 3 or 4 hours, or 90 hours if you're me, because you don't know what you're doing. But most people, it takes like 2 or 3 hours on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We're actually in our Cash Flow from Land program. Jill and I take, I think, at least one chapter and talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But the gist of it is this. You just have to do it, period. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you have to do it, but you do. And it'll pay off in spades. You know, the other thing I was just thinking that this question prompted, I've heard a couple of our members say recently that they sent out letters, their name was Googled, and the first thing that came up was their name in Success Plan.
Oh.
And they did a deal because of that. It added credibility.
Oh,
so I'm not plugging Success Plan. I'm just saying maybe in your social media list.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's say you don't have a Twitter account, you establish one, or you change it over to business or whatever it ends up being for you. Go get us a free Success Plan username and password and ask some questions and stuff. Because the SEO is finding people in there.
That's true.
And they're saying to us, hey, thanks.
Mm-hmm. it's helping their businesses.
It doesn't cost anything.
I agree. Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so our topic today is...
What is a... Well, I wrote this topic title and it really describes what this show is about.
Mm-hmm.
If you send 1,000 letters out, you're probably going to buy a house, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
If you send 100 letters out, you're pretty, and you do it properly, you're going to buy some land.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, does that describe our program any more concise? Can we describe it more concisely?
No, I think we're done. The show's over.
That's it.
Join us in
shows?
Another episode.
The rest of the whole show is going to be Jill and I talking about our kids and stupid stuff that we do.
No,
and,
I have some things to say.
Tune in tomorrow.
Gosh.
Tune in. How old am I?
Tune 90? In tomorrow. Oh, my goodness.
95.
By the way, I'll get to it in a minute. I wrote down, what the heck is brass tacks? What is brass tacks?
No,
and Steven, who uses that? I got to say.
Old people.
Uh-huh.
Wonder what that means.
That's what I was wondering. I'm going to actually have to Google it. I don't know. I'm like, brass, is it like a military thing? Like way back in the Civil War? I'm guessing it's a Civil War military thing. And how that is still in your vocabulary, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
cracking
goodness.
Me up, man.
Oh, that's what it sounds like to me. Okay. So I wrote, I had some things to share about this topic. So first, Stephen, please explain where you get 1,100 and how you figure the numbers work. Please.
It's experience, baby.
Well, oh my gosh.
You know what we should do?
Oh my gosh.
We should
do. What is that?
We should have a whole show
experience,
like
baby.
Listen, so our youngest kid is he's asking a lot of questions about girls.
Uh-oh.
So every day I drive him to school and I say, you know, you have to be super respectful and this thing, but this is how, if you want to pick up a girl, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And I said the same thing. It's just, he's like, how the hell do you know all this? And I said, because I have a little bit of experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should do a whole show on like funny stuff like that, like how to fail at dating.
Oh my goodness.
Funny.
That would be good.
You wouldn't learn anything.
Oh, you know, somebody might.
We have to do this forever.
What?
Somebody asked me recently, like they said, there's actually one of your friends. Aren't you guys running out of stuff to talk about?
That
about
hilarious.
Land? I said, oh my gosh, we ran out of that like 48 episodes ago.
Who talks about that?
Funny stuff, you know?
You know, the good news is, Stephen, we never have a loss for material. I think because we're just out there doing stuff all the time.
When I struggle to like write the title of a show, you know what I do? I ask myself two questions. What happened yesterday that was awesome? Like, what did we succeed at?
Yep.
And what did I screw up really bad? Because they're both really entertaining.
There you go. And there's always material there.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like, I don't really screw too much up at work because I don't really do anything here anymore. But in my personal life, oh my gosh, there's no shortage of information.
Oh my goodness.
Of material.
You know,
is that?
We should do
what
that.
What do you think?
A segment of our show should, as we're looking at maybe revamping as we go forward here, we can make a segment of our show like what we screwed up yesterday. I think that would be so funny. Yeah, like Car Talk they did trivia, they did different things like this. One of ours could be what we screwed up yesterday because I think that's entertaining.
You know what else we should have a segment? It kind of ties into this. I think we should have an if-then segment. So when you write computer programs, if there's if-then statement. If this happens, then this should happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you send 1,000 letters out and you do it properly,
perfect.
Then you will buy a house.
Perfect.
If you properly send 100 letters out, you will buy a piece of land.
Right.
And I'm not plugging either one. Yeah, it costs a little more to buy a house, but sometimes you make a little more.
Mm-hmm. But that's just the numbers and that's just
the way it is.
Based on our stuff since 99 and 16,000 deals, now that's really what it works out to be. So if you and I want to add to this is doing it relatively correctly. It's not going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect.
Yeah, if you buy a list from a guy in a dark alley of property owners and you send 1,000, that's 14 years old.
Right.
And you send out 1,000 letters on that list, you're going to waste $500.
Right. That's true. So you got to get the right data, be doing the right mailer.
Right.
You need to be pricing it in the ballpark.
The right piece of mail in the mail.
Mm-hmm. And you're really reaching the right people with the right offer, not one like Steven shared with us recently that he accidentally sent like wrong offers. That was a good story. Did we share that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So Jill and I, we speak at REI events, real estate investment clubs locally here sometimes, along with teaching a class at a local university here. We would co-teach it because we just do. And so it gives me a chance to get a lot of feedback from younger people and from new real estate investors and stuff. And so somebody asked me recently, give us some of the mistakes that you made early in your career. So, you know, in the name of trying to, we can avoid making the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I really just got my wires crossed about a mailer. It's a lot of years ago. And I sent it to, it was land, it wasn't houses. And I sent it to like a pretty densely populated area. All the vacant properties that I could find in this, we do it in rural areas. So I sent it in a pretty densely populated area on accident in the county. But I use the same criteria that we always do and what we teach here.
Mm-hmm.
Vacant land, whatever acreage, half acre to 5 acres or some number like that. And with the low assessed value.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it and I got, we have this thing called the hate because it happens with every mailer. I don't care what happens. There's some people, you offend some people and they call you back and tell you about it. Jill has a way of converting them into sales. But that's a topic for a different story, a different episode. So I did this. I sent it out. And you know what happened? I bought some property.
Exactly. I love you did it all wrong and it still worked.
And we made some dough on that. I mean, we're buying properties for $3,000-$4,000 and selling them for, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
$80,000-$90,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned that to somebody recently, too, that even if it's, they're calling you back for a reason. So, if I got something and you're not interested, usually you just toss it. But if they went through the motions to pick up the phone and dial and call you, there often is a reason. They're not just that bored. So they really want to talk about buying the property. Just your price was wrong or selling the property. Yeah. The price was wrong. So, that's, I think just get it. It's you can make a joke out of it, like, oh, oops, I was missing a zero or something. You can make it funny in a joke or just go, oh, my goodness. And at the end of the call, they're your best friend and you're buying it from them. So, it happens.
If you pull a girl's hair on the playground, it usually means you like her.
There you go. Just like that. So what I was going to say, too, about this whole topic is be ready for the calls. Have a script ready, some advice, as you're setting up these mailers.
This is a useful show.
Thank you. So be ready for the calls. They will come back.
I'll get us all sidetracked and I'll talk about something stupid, useless.
Like the playground and pulling hair and the monkey bars and whatever. Do they even have monkey bars anymore?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do. Okay. I'm actually surprised that this day and age that.
I like the monkey bars. That's my favorite.
Attorneys haven't gotten a hold of the playground equipment.
You're right.
And then
put out there just the foam thing, the foam that you just roll around and do nothing.
So our kids have no chance of failing it at anything.
Right. Not going to skin a knee.
And they can live with us forever.
My kid fell down. I'm suing the school. Oh, my gosh. But you have a script.
If your plan in life is to have your children live with you forever, I want you to send me an email. I want to understand that better because my whole plan involves getting these kids the hell out of here.
I have something to say about that. Since we're going so off topic, we'll come back to topic here in a second.
I'm sorry.
No, I have something to say about this.
Yeah.
What is it, and I'm sorry to call people out.
Wait.
To hear what I'm going to... You want to hear what I have to say?
I really want to talk about
this. Okay, wait. What is it with parents nowadays that actually say, oh, Joey didn't want his license, so we're just driving him anywhere? What the heck is that? Joey, if you don't want to go get your license, here's a bus pass.
This is
See ya.
Joey, come with me.
That's the craziest thing. No, they didn't want to get their license. Well, no wonder, because you're catering to them and driving them everywhere and probably handing them money whenever they need it. So they have no desire to get a car, Jill, or a job.
We were made for each other.
Thank you. That drives me crazy. And I'm sorry if I'm calling somebody out on that, but I just don't get it. That would, to me, that's the kid that's going to live in your basement when they're 30.
You know what? We lost we lost half of our listening audience, and I don't care.
I don't get it.
I don't want you to listen to this show if that's the kind of person you are.
I don't get it. Our kids, thank goodness, they could hardly wait to get their license. Like, I could hardly wait to get my license. It was freedom. I wanted out, man. I wanted to go to my, do my own thing and, gosh, save up and get my own car. And
oh, my gosh.
And even it's a clunker, I don't care. It was my clunker. It was, you know, our number two kid isn't driving a car with no air conditioning.
Isn't that great?
It's comical.
God, I love that.
So, but you know what? It's a car. You know, and he's happy to have it.
Yeah.
So, not thrilled, but it works. You know, hey, that's the way it goes.
You know, there's like 5 or 6 days of in your life there like that you can say, this is one of the best days of my life. And getting your license is one of the best days ever. Like getting your braces off is good.
Right.
You know, they rank pretty high. Exactly. There's some of them that can rank pretty high.
Moving into your own first place.
That's one, Jill.
I mean,
sure.
Moving out of your parents' home, that's the thing that you're taking away. I wonder whether it's you're going to the dorm or going to your first home. Really, the first home is, but setting it up the way you want it.
Your mom's
and buying
your
own stuff. I can watch TV till 3 a.m. if I want to.
Yep. I can eat.
It's awesome.
Eat cake for lunch.
Yeah. No one's here to tell me. So you go.
Never do laundry again. Right. Stuff like that.
Exactly. You quickly realize, I got to do this stuff because I need to function. But that's a good, I'm glad we went off on this thing because I don't get it. We need to set these kids up for that.
I think it's somewhat generational specific, and I mean our generation. I see our people we know doing that.
You
know,
I do.
I don't know anyone in my parents' generation or our parents' generation that's stuck like that.
I think people get confused. Well, what's the right thing to do with kids? And I think the right thing to do with kids is let them figure some stuff out.
Is it a West Coast thing?
No.
Because man, I wonder if this is going on in Michigan. I doubt it.
Well, I'm sure there's people everywhere that do too much for their kids, thinking that they're doing a right thing instead of letting them figure it out. They should fall down and figure it out how to pick themselves back up and put their own Band-Aid
it's
on now
book.
And then.
Actually, that's a whole chapter in my book. I'm almost done writing this book called Showing Up. You know, like showing up for your career and showing up for your marriage.
I can't wait.
And there's a whole chapter in it. It's called Failing.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to fail 4 or 5 times at something.
Mm-hmm.
Before you understand how to succeed at it, and then actually when it happens, appreciate it.
Here's one of my thoughts is if you don't set your kids up to be independent, what's going to happen when you're not around someday? Because last time I checked, in the way things go, we're not going to
all be here. They're going to sponge off of somebody, something or someone else. Well, that's what's going to happen.
Or they're just going to, and they're not going
to
be
successful. They're not going to all of a sudden learn at 35 that oh my gosh, my parents aren't here. You know, I'm going to just do this on my own.
Now I need to learn how to do laundry.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Right.
Get a job or I don't know.
Right. You don't want them floundering. So, all right. That was a good off topic. So, back to this. Can I just ask a couple things?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So,
let's try to salvage this.
All right. Have a script, somewhat of a script, an outline. When the people do call you back, you want to know what to ask them about the properties. Have a phone number. We talked about that before and keep that phone number. And then one of the things too, have your acquisition funds, by the way, set aside. You don't want to be going, great, now what do I do? If you don't have the money set aside to act on these transactions as you're sending out mailers, at least have a plan.
That's what success plan's for.
Yeah.
You know, there are people in success plan who are money people.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you don't, now more than ever, you don't need a ton of money to start this.
But have a plan.
Yes, exactly.
Have a plan. Just go, don't be floundering going, now I got to go ahead and call people and figure this out. No, have it all thought out ahead of time and stick to your acquisition plan. Have a good acquisition plan. You know what you're buying, what the criteria is. Don't get all haywire. Oh, this came in and that came in and this came in and that came in.
Yeah.
You're going to be all over the place spinning your wheels and it's just going to be a jumbled mess.
It could be the greatest deal in the world, and I mean this. Don't do it.
Right.
If it's not, and you need to have it. You're exactly right, Jill. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people make mistakes like that.
Yep.
Stick to your acquisition criteria. Yep. If you're going to want to buy 40-acre properties in West Texas, then stick to that. You know, don't, even if some stuff comes in Arkansas, and I think it's not so much land, but don't start buying houses in the middle of executing a 40-acre West Texas thing. That's my point.
When you're new, especially when you're new and you're getting going, it's so much easier. And that's the brass tack.
That's not how you use that at all.
I don't know.
Not only is it a bad cliche, it's misused.
It's an awful cliche. I don't know where you got that.
We should do a show that's like misunderstood cliches. Like, here's one. I'll burn that bridge when I come to it.
I know. Somebody actually said that. It was in, God, oh, gosh, it was this guy, Gabe. I remember him. And he was from Cuba or something. I don't remember where he was from. Worked with this guy. And he didn't know the phrase. He just got it all turned around. And I thought that was the greatest thing. So
yeah, what's the real one?
What is I will cross that bridge.
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Uh-huh.
And what's the burning part, though?
I don't remember. Do you know?
No, we have to have a show like this, though.
Okay.
Can we have a show, Jill, please, and we just say right up front, this has had nothing to do with real estate. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
We should call it, misused cliches.
Okay.
And maybe have a couple callers and just laugh and stuff.
Well, you know what?
We have to do this real estate thing every single time.
We should do this. And then we're going to test it and see if anybody listens to it.
Okay. You know what? So we'll let the numbers decide.
Just like
how we buy land.
Exactly.
That's excellent. You're awesome. You're a good partner. Hey, join us in another episode where Jill and I get sidetracked and then try to get back to discussing your all-important success in property investment and in life. I'm serious about having just a funny show.
Okay, since this is the after show part that nobody listens to, I am looking up brass tacks. I'm not kidding. Brass tacks meaning, you ready for this? Brass tacks are a type of pin or nail, sometimes called a drawing pin. In colloquial English, the phrase to get down to brass tacks is an idiom that means to focus on essential details. You used it correctly, Stephen, such as measuring out the precise amount of an item for sale. Interesting.
I wonder what the origin is, though.
What?
Like you said, is it military? A lot of this stuff comes from the military, I think.
A theory that comes from the brass tacks in the counter of a hardware store or draper shop used to measure cost. What the heck?
Well, if we had any listeners,
meaning and origin,
we lost them.
It's English. Get down to brass tacks. That's hilarious. So I. That is.
Oh, somebody's going to tell us. That's for sure. We can count.
They will tell you.
3 weeks from now, we're going to get an email, and we're both going to say, "What the heck is that person talking about?"
I was right with the Civil War thing. It first appeared in print in the USA back in January 1863 in the Texas newspaper, the Tri-Weekly Telegraph. When you come down to brass tacks, that's what it said. Wow, that's really wild.
We still don't know what it means, though. Huh?
I get it. I get it. It's being precise. Anyway.
Wow, we're beating this horse good.
We sure are. We're not going to do that.
Oh, here's another cliche.
Uh-oh.
Don't beat a dead horse. We can't stop ourselves.
Oh, my gosh. We can't stop ourselves.
Let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.